Well, tonight I invite you to take your Bible and turn to the Old Testament book of Haggai. It's only two chapters. If you're having trouble finding it, it's on page 884 in my Bible, and I don't know whether you'll find it in yours. I'll read through this text as I go through the message tonight. It's entitled, Time to Build God's House. I preach on chapter 1 tonight and chapter 2 next Wednesday night. When you go online or television or radio, there's a tremendously wide assortment of preaching and preaching styles. Tonight at a certain time on a Christian station, you can probably hear a preacher that's going to come out and say, I want to tell you about your best life now. And then there's another one that's going to come on at 3 a.m. I know when I can't sleep, sometimes I accidentally turn to this channel. He says, I want to talk to you about planting a seed. And you know what? He can talk about that from 3 to 6 a.m. Every weeknight. And he wants you to start out with sending him $100 and then watch your seed grow. I thought about disappearance when I heard the plea. And then you will hear some preachers, and there's all kinds of self-help sermons that are out there. I'm not saying that's wrong, but sometimes that's the meat of or the style of certain preachers. Very seldom do you hear preachers who really want to just preach expository messages from the Word of God. And then we seldom hear certain preachers ever preach about sin. Don't do that. You'll hurt somebody's feelings and they'll never listen to you again. And then they're the preachers that will actually preach the hard messages. And I can promise you from 43 years experience, when you preach the hard messages, that's not easy listening music. That's not something that's popular. And it oftentimes leads people to leave your church because they just simply don't want to hear that. Haggai was assigned a difficult message. The temple was in ruins. And God gave him a very hard message to share with his people. Most of us remember exactly where we were when 9/11 took place. I was contemplating that when I wrote this message. What if that had turned out different? We had the destruction, the attack from the enemy. And when you think about the Twin Towers and the Pentagon and the other destruction that took place, where the targets were hit were sort of symbols of our nation. The Pentagon, symbol of our Defense Department. The World Trade Center, an attack on our economy. Let me ask you a question. Would have America had been just as upset and ready to retaliate if all the churches in America had been attacked and destroyed rather than the Twin Towers and some of the Pentagon? How mad would America have been if that had been the case? Well, we notice here that back in 586 BC, Jerusalem was destroyed. The temple was the center of Israel's religion, their faith, and it was destroyed along with Jerusalem. Now, the loss of that temple was a blow to them. And when some of the Jews were allowed to return in 537 BC under Cyrus and Ezra, the rebuilding of the temple was to have been a priority. But Jerusalem, the people who returned, had a different idea. Their conditions were dismal politically. The economy, of course, was crushed. And the first thing the people did, they began to try to rebuild their houses and take care of their personal needs rather than doing what God wanted them to do first. And that was to rebuild the temple. You know, we think about across our nation, there's still places in Louisiana, Florida, Kentucky, and other states who've had hurricane damage, tornado damage, and their neighborhoods still in total shambles. And some of these incidents happened years and years ago. And some people, it's so devastating what happened in their areas, they just abandoned their broken down houses and their material things and moved to other states just to start over. Well, in the book that bears his name, the prophet Haggai is speaking to the community of former exiles that have been allowed to return, and he's telling them, I need you to get back to the rebuilding of the temple. This is God's plan for us. As Haggai sees it with a restored temple, the glory of God would once again be restored among his people. In the difficult conditions that the returning people faced, they did well to get roofs over their heads, and so little work had been done on rebuilding the temple. Let me tell you what they did. Instead of rebuilding the temple, they went to the rubbles of the temple, and they built a little altar out of destroyed, you know, salvage material is what we would call it. They rebuilt a little altar, and then from the rubble, they built some little walls around that altar. And every now and then they come to worship and offer their sacrifices in a place that looked like a salvage yard rather than the temple of God. Well, God gave Haggai a message, and he started with this. He said, Haggai, the first thing I want you to do is get a message to my leaders. And I want you to look in chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. In the second year of King Darius, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel. Now, you can pronounce that any way. Some say Shealtiel. Others pronounce it other ways, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Jodiak, the high priest. And this is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say, the time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house. Haggai went straight to the political and the religious leaders. He said, here's what the citizens are saying, not time to rebuild. God's got another message for the leaders. It's going to start with you. So Haggai brings the Lord's accusation to the people who say the time is not come for us to rebuild the house of the Lord. And there's a reason Haggai uses the designation. Notice here in the text, he says, the Lord of hosts says, the Lord Almighty says. You know, he uses those phrases at least 12 times in these two chapters in this book. And the expression is saying that God is the mighty one. He's the master of the universe. He's the Lord of all the nations. And here is his message for you as the leaders. Haggai seems to be saying that the people have forgotten the Lord and his mighty power. Notice he says, this people. Haggai says, you have forgotten. You have forgotten that you are the people of God and that you serve the mighty one, the almighty God. And you have shown little concern for God. You're just focused on you and your personal needs and just the needs of your family. That's it. Now, the root of the problem, of why they haven't made any more progress is down in verse 9. You expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why? Declares the Lord Almighty. Because of my house, which remains in ruins, while each of you is busy with your own house. You just need to write down one word. Sums up verse 9. Selfishness. Self-centered. They were preoccupied with their own personal matters and neglecting the larger issues that were more important to the whole community. You know, sometimes God's men have got to step up and send a message. I know you, like I am, a big fan of Truett Cathy. Back in the 1990s, some of their largest competition went into business. Some of you remember, at first it was called Boston Chicken. And later on in the 90s, they called it the Boston Markets. I want you to know that in about 1993, Boston Market started building their fast food stores all over the nation, and they loved to build near Chick-fil-A. From 1992 or 93 to the year 2000, they grew to be a $1 billion business. Truett Cathy was in a board meeting with his sons and other executives. The executives and his sons were very passionate and said, "We have got to get bigger and we've got to do it fast. Even if we have to borrow the money, we cannot be overtaken by Boston Market." Well, this was a heated boardroom meeting. It just went on and on and on. And they said, Truett Cathy, very uncharacteristic with him, started banging his fist on the boardroom table till everybody was in shock. And they were silent. And here's what Truett Cathy said. He said, "I'm sick and tired of hearing you, our leaders, our board members, talk about how we need to get bigger and bigger and bigger." He said, "What's most important is we need to get better." And he said, "If we get better in the stores that we have, our customers will demand that we get bigger." They followed Truett's advice. I read last week an economic report. Boston Markets are in bankruptcy, and they have 33 stores left in the nation that they think will soon be closing. The first thing you need to do, whether it's spiritually or out in business, whatever it is, you got to get God's message to the leaders. That's where the spiritual change starts. The second thing is a message about running late. Look at verse 3 and 4. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. "Is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses?" That's where pine paneling started. "While this house remains a ruin." He says in verse 4, he says, this is not going to be a feel-good message. You're centered on yourself and on your needs, but it's time to get back to God. And you're running late because you're neglecting my house and my will for you. Their personal concerns had dulled their concerns for God. You know what? That's going on in our our nation right now. It's going on in our community. You remember when there was never a ball game played on Wednesday night? You remember when football practice would end early so the kids that wanted to could go to church on Wednesday nights? I have to drive by gym every time I come on Wednesday nights most of the time. If I go through Lindale, and during basketball season on Wednesday night, you know what? Parking lot's running over. Granny and grandpa, uncles and aunts, mama and daddy, we all got games on Wednesday night. And you know, this nation runs now like there is no God. And so that's what's going on with us in America. We're just neglecting. God. This is supposed to be one nation under God, but all that has changed. Now notice here, the Lord says, now it's been 18 years since you've been back. It's time to put God first. It's time to rebuild his house. What do you do that shows that you're putting God first? Just being here tonight shows that you put God first. Being here for worship services and for Sunday school classes and your small groups and ministries that we have shows that you're putting God first. But what about in your family? How do you show that you put God first? Well, your husband, you love your wife. It's Christ loved the church. And the wife, she's the one that, if she has a husband like that, she's the one that will compliment him. Now, I'm talking about helpmate here. I'm not talking about words. You ought to encourage each other. But then how do you raise your children? Well, you got to give them a Bible-based example by the way you live. You don't drill it into them by being dictators. How do you use your talents and your gifts? And what about your giving? Do you show God is a priority with your money? The people in Jerusalem have been so busy. God's not their priority. Look at verse 6. You have planted much since you've come back, but you didn't harvest much. You harvested little. And he says, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You put on clothes, but you're not worn. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. If you're in the stock market right now, there's holes in it. It's leaking fast. But look what he says. As a result, God's blessings are not upon him. He says, you've planted, you eat, you drink, you work, you earn wages. That speaks of normal actions of everyday life. God's saying that they're going through these activities, but they're not experiencing the fulfillment that they expect. He says, let me tell you why. He says, because you're not putting me first, you're not rebuilding my temple. Look at verse 9. And he says, so I have blown it away. Do we want to see the fulfillment in our lives? The hand of God is blessings upon us. Then we got to put him first. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. There's a man named Kip Taylor. You've never heard of him. He died September 11, 2001. He was at the Pentagon. He was a lieutenant colonel. And there he was an aide to the Army's chief of staff of personnel. And he was killed when American Flight 77 was crashed into the Pentagon. Interesting thing he had done that morning, before there was any warning that it was going to be an attack, he sent an email to his wife. And here's what he said. I love my work, and I give it all I've got. He said, but when I get off work and get home to my wife and children, you know what they said in the 50s and the 60s? Honey, I'm home. He says, when I get home and yell out, honey, I'm home, he said, that is the best part of my day because I get to love my wife and my children. He said, one of the most important things for me is to be a good husband and an outstanding father to my kids. He said, that matters more than any work I do at the Pentagon. This man's getting the message. And notice the next thing. Haggai is told, now send this message out in verse 7 and 8. The bill God loves, the temple. He says, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build my house so I might take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. And Haggai's main concern was not to pronounce judgment on the people, but to encourage them to rebuild the temple. What brings God pleasure? Is that we seek Him, we trust Him, we obey Him, and put Him first. Because God longs to be glorified by His people. Sunday morning, I'm going to be preaching a message from the book of Revelation. It's entitled, I'll See You at the Throne. John's been invited up into heaven to open house. And he's taken to the throne. And we're going to see a picture of what's going on there now and what we're going to be doing forever and ever. And I'm going to share with you, if you're not happy and excited to worship God, you're not going to be very satisfied in heaven. Because there's just nothing in the world but a whole lot of worship going on at the throne. So Sunday, I'm going to be talking about see you at the throne. So Haggai says it's time to stop making excuses. It's time to stop putting it off. We need to do what God wants us to do. Some of you remember what happened September the 8th, 2022. What happened? Queen Elizabeth II died. You know, there are people that live in that country, and they say, we can't ever remember having any other queen because she lived for so long. But you know, I didn't think about this. But do you know that they've got to change their flag? They got to put old Charles on the flag. That's a blessing. And then the other thing they got to do is go back and change their currency, because Queen Elizabeth has been on there. And so 4.7 billion banknotes have got to be changed with Charles's picture on there instead of Elizabeth. However, if you still have Elizabeth currency, it'll still be good till you can get it exchanged. But they said it's going to take 2 years to be able to change their currency over to get old Charles's picture on there. Part of that gets his nose in. I understand that personally. And to get all that done, you know what God's wanting to do? He's wanting His image imprinted in us. And that's that process of sanctification going through this lifetime. Now notice the laborers here living for God in verse 12 through 15. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, Joshua's son of Jozadak, the high priest, and the whole remnant of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the message of the prophet Haggai, because the Lord their God had sent him, and the people feared the Lord. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave this message of the Lord to the people. I am with you, declares the Lord. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, and governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of the whole remnant of the people. They came and began to work on the house of the Lord Almighty, their God, on the 24th day and the sixth month. The word of the Lord got through to the people. And what's happening? He's empowering them by the Holy Spirit to rebuild the temple. Following the favorable response of the people, look at verse 13. I am with you, says the Lord. That's powerful. The word of assurance follows and completes their act of repentance. Look at verse 14. The Lord stirred up the people to work on the house of the Lord. Have you ever heard of the website Auction Web? Yes, you have. Because it was back in 1995, and you know, computers were just, we were coming out of Fortran, if you know what that is. That was my dinosaur age of writing your own programs. But there was a thing called Auction Web, and there was a boy named Mark Frazier. Do some of you remember the laser pointers when they first came out in the 90s? Some of you in education who are retired now will remember those. Well, his went bad, and he couldn't find another one. So he went on Auction Web, and he found one for $14.83, and he ordered it, and it was delivered to his door. And I want you to know that was the first sale for the company that later became eBay. Have you ever heard of eBay? Well, it used to be known as Auction Web. So now you know. But you know what was significant? He had broken his pointer. He couldn't find one in the store anywhere else. And so it's significant because of out of that sale, this whole thing just turned into a multi-billion dollar business. You know what? We tend to shun brokenness, especially in people. But it's something that God can use masterfully. You know, I was sitting on the 16th hole Saturday with my sister, a senior adult man sitting on the other side of her. He started talking to us. He was from Sylvania, Georgia, senior adult fellow. And I asked him if he knew a couple of businessmen down there. He said, those were my personal friends. I said, that Mr. Roger I told you about, that's your friend. I said, that's one of the most godly men I've ever met. He said, what do you do for a living? Are you a lawyer? I said, no, sir. I'm a Baptist preacher. He was just so humble, and he looked at me, he said, I'm so concerned about my grandchildren and the culture we have here in America and Christian people just not standing up. He said, my heart's just totally broken. Ladies and gentlemen, God can use this broken nation, and He can use our broken hearts if we just be open to God's instructions to live for Him, share Christ not in an abrasive way. And God is the one who stirs the hearts of His people. We just have to obey. And we could see a mighty spiritual restoration in this country. Haggai said, you don't want to hear this, but it's time to build the house. We don't want to hear this, but it's time we got away from our ease, comfort, and pleasure and convenience, as Charles Stanley would often say. And it's time we become the company of the committed and see this nation become one nation under God, a place that will bring honor and glory to His name. Let's pray together. Lord, thank You for those who weathered a storm to come here tonight. Thank You for Haggai having an open heart. And thank You for the people, after 18 years of taking care of their own needs, they finally open their heart to your message, you put your hand upon them, and then you were glorified, and they were blessed. We don't want to miss any of your blessings. Use us to be a blessing to other people. Thank you for the children and for the teenagers here tonight. They're going to be disciples. Someone to you, thank you for choir rehearsal. May that be a worship service. And help us to go from this place and allow you to shape us to look more like your Son. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Good night.